It's good to see everybody here this morning. I was thinking on the way over this morning that, boy, I hope we have a good gathering, a good congregation. And we do. We have a good gathering and a good congregation because we have people that are here this morning because they're thirsting to hear about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you weren't, you wouldn't be here. You'd be somewhere else. If this didn't matter to you, you would not be here. We sang the song 344. Now, I want to go through that song. You know, everybody called my dad the psalmist preacher. If I end up being an ordained minister one day, which the Lord still hadn't told anybody yet, hadn't made that decision, but I may be called the songbook singer because I love the sermons and that's in our hymns and the expressions that it gives us. And these are not scriptures, but they're taken from the scriptures. And men that have penned these songs were blessed to write these words. But number 344, I think it's a song of joy. I would see Jesus when the flowers of joy adorn my way, when sunshine and when hope surrounds my path from day to day. You know, when everything's going good and everything's going like you want to, it's easy to praise his name and to be happy for what you've got. When friends I cherish most are near, and when I sing that, I think about y'all. When you're in the service of the Lord, and hearts encircle mine, our hearts are encircled together, then, Father, would I turn from all to lean alone on thine. We're here together to lean alone on him, on our Savior Jesus Christ and his love and his salvation. Second verse, and I just love this. To those who know the Lord I speak, is my beloved near? The bridegroom of my soul I seek. Oh, when will he appear? When's he coming back? When's he coming back, my bridegroom? When is he coming back to take me home? Though once a man of grief and shame, yet now he fills the throne and bears the greatest, sweetest name that earth or heaven has known. Do you know any name sweeter or greater than Jesus Christ? The third verse, grace flies before and love attends his steps where'er he goes. Though none could see him but his friends, and they were once his foes. He speaks obedient to his call, our warm affections move. Did he but shine alike on all, then all alike would love. If he shined alike on every person in this world, then everybody in this world would love. There would be no death, no sorrow, no wars and fightings and everything. But you know that's how it's going to be when we get to heaven? Everybody is going to be loving each other. There'll be no strife, no pain, no sorrow, no arguments. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I do know it's going to be better than anything we've ever seen or heard. You believe that? Yes. Somebody asked, what's it going to be like in heaven? I don't know, but it's going to be better than anything I've ever seen in my life. I know that. Did he but shine alike on all, then all alike would love. Then love in every heart would reign and war would cease to roar. And cruel and bloodthirsty men with thirst for blood, no more. I led this song in San Antonio when Elder John Medlin was there preaching, holding a meeting. And it was the last song. I was asked to lead the last song, and I led this song, and it was 4 years ago. So when, just pretty soon after Brenda and I had lost our daughter and grand boys, and I wanted to lead this song, and it touched Brother John strongly because he knew about the trauma that had happened. And he got up. He says, I can't believe Brother Gary would lead that song. He's got to be a spiritual giant. is what he said, you know. And I was sitting there in the auditorium, and I said, what? You know, he said, ain't he rid the thing and cruel and bloodthirsty men with thirst for blood no more? Such Jesus is, and such his grace. Oh, may he shine on you. And tell him when you see his face, I long to see him too. Oh, that his love would shine alike on all. But we know that's not the way it is in this old world. We talked about different religions earlier. And that there's good people in all of those churches. The difference is they just haven't been given the understanding nor the light to know what we know. Amen. Do you ever ask yourself, why did the Lord reveal to me his truth, his grace, and to have an understanding about that? Why did he pick me to know that? And that makes it even that much more of a responsibility to me to take that and do what he asked me to do. Live my life in the way that he asked us to live. Let's look at the 19th Psalm. I had two or three scriptures and verses on my mind, and I don't know where to go. But I do want to read the 19th Psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Can you imagine that? Do you know what it's saying here? The heavens. Have you ever stood out in your backyard and looked up at the heavens? The skies, the clouds are at night, the stars in the sky. And just think, Lord, you did this. You made this. You're glorious. Nobody else. This didn't happen. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The earth, the canyons, the trees, the earth shows his glory too. They together declare our God. There's got to be a God, or we wouldn't see this glory. We wouldn't see this handiwork. You don't go out into the West Texas gravel, kick around in the gravel, and Bolivar watches start coming up out of the gravel. No, a Bulletproof watch shows handiwork. It shows craftsmanship. It shows that there was somebody that created that. And that's the way it is with the heavens and the earth and the firmament. It shows his handiwork. It declares his glory. Second verse, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Does his firmament, does his glory speak to you? You know, I've had that happen to me. I'd go out in the West Texas skies and look up, and then I would just be overcome with feeling and with love, and you know, it's just a feeling you can't explain, can you? Have you ever had that happen to you? Third verse: there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. When the heavens are announcing his glory in the firmament, they're not doing it in English. They're doing it in a way that everybody can see it, can feel it, and can understand it. Does that make any sense to you? No, it don't to me. But you know, that's the way our God is. When the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and speaks to you, it don't have to be in English. It's the same thing. It's the same thing as seeing his glory in the skies. That's the same feeling you get when the Lord blesses you and you're born again. And just about every one of you can attest to that. I know you can, because you had that feeling when the Lord came into your heart and you said, what is this? You know, but you knew when that happened that you had been blessed with understanding and you had become a new creature created in Christ Jesus. Fourth verse, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. these words that the firmament, that the glory of God is speaking throughout the world, the Lord has set up a tabernacle for these words and for the sun. The sun that lighteth the day, that brings light to his people. Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. All of this glory and all of this understanding, it's like they say, it's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Who is the bridegroom of the church? It's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's coming out with glory, and he rejoices as a strong man to run a race that he completed, the race that is finished. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit to the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. You know, I didn't used to understand when they talked about fear in the Lord. I finally understood it one day. It made sense to me. And I was a teenage boy, I guess. I remember how much I loved my father. And I had done something wrong. and I knew he knew about it. And I knew that his wrath was going to come down upon me. Now, was he going to murder me, kill me? No, but his wrath is coming my way. And I was fearful of his discipline. I was fearful of his hand. We need to fear our Lord and Savior. We need to fear what he's promised us he would do. We need to fear the discipline and condemnation that he will give us if we don't follow in the way that he laid out for us. And he wouldn't have laid it out for you. Listen, brothers and sisters, he wouldn't have laid it out for you to follow if he didn't believe that you had the capability in your heart to follow it. He wouldn't have done that. He didn't give you something you can't do. So it's pretty easy, you know. All you got to do is do what the Lord told you to do, and you can do it because he made it easy for you to do. Does that make sense? Why do we turn from that? Why do we not do what we're supposed to do, Brother Joe? Why? Not that you did it, right? Why do we do that? The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You know that, you read that, you say, well, the judgment of the Lord is sweeter than honey and honeycomb. When the Lord judges you or disciplines you, what does that tell you? That you are his. He's doing that because you are definitely his. When the Lord lays his hand upon you, rejoice, children, because that's evidence that you are his child. And he's not going to pay any attention to you unless you're his child. You ever wonder why the people running up and down the streets could do anything they want to do, live in the way they want to, and nothing ever happens to them? You know? Well, because they're not his children at that particular time. They may be at some time, but he's not worried about them. All he's worried about are his children. And that's why the discipline in the hand of our Lord and Savior comes down on us, and we don't understand why. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is a great reward. The judgments of the Lord are a warning. If you don't follow his statutes and do the things that he's laid out for you to do, following the commandments of the Lord, it's a warning. And in keeping them, there is a great reward. Well, what was he talking about? What kind of reward is there in being obedient? Well, whenever I did what I was supposed to do from my daddy told me, I was proud. And we have that same feeling when we do feel like we've done what the Lord has asked us to do. We come together and worship him and we rejoice together and sing. Are you not happy? Are you not proud that you leave here with a good feeling? Keep back thy servants also from the presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Presumptuous sins. These are sins that just happen that we don't really think about. You know, we sin continually. We are sin. Don't let these have dominion over me. 14th verse, and this is where I wanted to get to this morning. It was my pet scripture. 14th verse, the last verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's read it again. Let the words of my mouth. Now, he didn't say the words of my mouth are going to be this way. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Can you do that? The meditations of your heart all the time be acceptable in his sight. How glorious that would be. I don't fit that bill. The meditations of my heart are not that way. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Come ahead, Brother Joe. Do we want to bring that up here?
I'll try to.
Yeah, Brother Don, he texted us and wanted us to speak today. And then when he got here, he told us that he had been putting us to sleep for quite a while, and he wanted to take a break and let us put him to sleep. So I hope he's getting a little bit of rest over there and that. But I definitely enjoyed what Brother Gary had to say. And there's always a lot of questions that we have in life, and a lot of times there's not an answer. And God doesn't always give us an answer for everything that goes on in our life, and sometimes we don't need to know the answers to everything in life. But there's a purpose for everything under the sun. And I don't know all of his purposes that he's made. I'm going to reflect for just a moment. This is not where I want to go, but I do want to read it because I read it a while back. And Brother Gary helped me with this one this morning. I've been thinking about it, but I hadn't actually gone and found it and then read it like I needed to, but I've been thinking about the verses that are here and the concepts that are in it. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now that inward man is the Holy Spirit, Christ within us, Christ within you, the hope of glory. That is the inward man. But I thought, and I've mentioned this time or two, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, it's Jesus Christ, as Brother Gary has pointed out, that will deliver us from the body of this death. Now, where I want to go is over to Job, and I really appreciate Job and the man that God took the time to write and allow us to read Job and to think about his troubles and his problems. We look at ourselves and I've got a lot of problems. and I do. And you may have a lot of problems too. You may have more problems than I know about, which is generally the case. I don't know all of your problems, and you don't know all of my problems. But I know that God knows all of your problems, and I know he knows all of mine. I looked at one time the knowledge of God, and then the knowledge that God had on his children. He doesn't. You realize how many times you were in trouble, and God didn't share that with me. He kept your sin secret between him and you. A secret sin, Brother Gary mentioned that we have my faults and keep that. Well, he has kept that. He's kept a lot of my secret sins. He's kept that from y'all. And he's kept y'all's sins from me. And I'm glad about that. I really am. You realize that we probably wouldn't even love each other if we knew all about each other. Amen. We wouldn't care about each other like we do if we knew all about what we've done in life or what we think in life. I want to read here about Job in the 14th chapter. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Through the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground. Yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? And then, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hands. If a man die, shall he live again? That's one of the questions that old Job had. If a man die, shall he live again? And, you know, reflecting back, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. I've been to hundreds of graveyards out there, and there's graves and there's bodies in those graves, and some of those dates that are on those graves are centuries old, and they're still there, and that's where they're at. There are men and women that have been buried at sea that no one knows where they're at. People that have been disintegrated in war and by different things, and nobody knows where they're at for sure. But there's a God that knows where they're at. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait, till my change come. Job was waiting for his change. And I got to thinking about this. What is my change? And Brother Barry alluded to some of this. I don't know what it's going to be like in heaven, but I do know what the scriptures say about God. And I started kind of looking at that a little bit. And the thing that old Paul said over there, "O wretched man that I am." I am. And then you think about God. I am. I am the God. Or I am thy God. I am your God. I am the God of righteousness. What's it going to be like in heaven? It's going to be righteous and glory. I am the God of love. I am the God of peace. I am. And you start looking at all the things that I am in the Bible, and you're going to have just a little picture of what heaven is going to be like when we get there. And when that change comes, no pain, as Brother Gary alluded to, no suffering. There's going to be peace over there. No more wars, no peace. There's going to be peace and no wars. There's going to be love, joy, hope, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. All of the fruits and aspects of the Spirit are going to be there. The lust of the flesh, the things that we despise and the things that we wonder about, the things that we have thought about and the things that we are ashamed of in this life are not going to be in heaven. And I thought about Christ and how he said, I am the door. You realize when that change comes that we're going to meet our Savior at that point in life, at that door. I am the way, the life, the truth. There's so many things that we can think about whenever we look at heaven and start thinking about what heaven will be like. When we look at God and when we look at what he is, I am so thankful that I have been blessed with those that have kind of guided me and coaxed me into thinking about God and to thinking about a relationship with God and thinking about his way. And there's a path that leadeth to destruction, and we're walking in the way that if we turn from that, we turn in life from that, we take our eyes off of our Savior, then we're fitted with destruction and we're fitted with the things in life. But if we think about all of the things that Job was thinking about when he's sitting here talking to these guys, they tried to accuse him of this and they tried to accuse him of that and they tried to blame everything that had happened to him on the things that he had done in life. But Job was steadfast. It's not because the things that have happened to me are not because of the things that I have done. And but we get a lot of insight of the thoughts that he did have in life, because if you remember Job, he had had his wealth taken away from him. He had his children taken away from him. And yet, when his wife told him to just curse God and die because his health had been taken away from him, he told her that she spoke as a foolish woman, or that she spoke foolishly. It's foolish of her to think that he should just curse God and be done with it. And Job continued steadfast in not blaming God for his destruction, and not blaming God for any of the things that had happened, but knowing and understanding that God had a purpose for those things, and knowing and understanding that there's a purpose in life. And not only that, but knowing and understanding that in this body I shall see God. And Job said that it was in that very body that he had poor health in, that he He was at the point of death, at the point of struggling to stay alive, that he could see that in himself. But it wasn't because of the flesh. It was because of the Spirit that dwelt within him that caused him to know till his appointed time, till his change come, till in that body he would see God, that he would be changed from this carnal body. And we look at that, and we look at the Corinthian letter where it talks about this flesh shall have to put on the Spirit, and this natural shall have to put on the immortal. And we think about that, you know. This natural is going to be changed in the moment of a twinkling of the eye. And this body is going to be made glorified. It's going to be changed. And there's so many things over there in the New Testament that I'm thinking about right now. If I can find those things. I know it's in the Corinthian letter there somewhere. Is it the 10th chapter of Corinthians? Forgive me for a moment. Maybe I'm in the wrong book of Corinthians. I don't know if you've done that before, but I've done that with Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy. I apologize, but the sentiment is there, and it's in Scripture, and it'll give us all a little time to reflect on it and study it. But what it's basically saying is that this mortal shall have to put on immortality, and that there's a change that is coming. And I'm reflecting on another scripture that says that they were all their lifetime subject to the bonds of death, or to the fear of death. And we have been subject all our lives to the fear of death. And then through the Spirit we know and understand that there's a God, and that there's something new within us that we live by, and that we reflect with, and new laws. He made us a new creature, and we began to look at those things in our lives, and we reflect on those the things that we're ashamed of. And before we weren't ashamed of them, but now we have a new heart, a new mind, and we're ashamed of the very things and the very thoughts that we've had in our life. And I tell you what, I'm gonna leave it right there. But Job was awaiting his change in life. And I hope that when you think about that, when you think about your change in life, that you think about the God, the great God I am, and that when we are changed, that we will be like Him. And you want to know a little bit more about heaven? That's going to be a little piece of heaven. And that's as we see through a glass darkly. We don't see the whole picture, but if we can get a glimpse of our God in that aspect, then it will make this life a whole lot better. What's that?
1 Corinthians 15,
it may have been. 1 Corinthians 15:52. I was off by 4 or 5, if that's it.
Beginning at 35.
Let's see. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, thou sowest is not quickened except it die, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Yes, that's part of, and 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Yes, that is the scripture that I was looking for.